Transfiguration Sunday. It's our last Sunday before we enter into Lent. That small window between Epiphany and Ash Wednesday, what does it mean for us all? There are a few things about Transfiguration Sunday that have seemed interesting to me through the years. First, especially this year, it is so fast between the birth and the death. We've barely had time to celebrate the birth of Jesus, and now we begin the journey to the cross. 2 weeks ago, I had told you I had a dream that I finished the sermon at 11:30 and I didn't know what to do. In that dream, I started telling you all about why you needed to be at Ash Wednesday services and why you needed to be at Good Friday services. And it's kind of funny today because it's kind of what I'm going to talk to you about today. It's interesting that at this point, the Transfiguration story, God changes what he says. At Jesus' baptism, you remember, God said, "You are my son. You are my son, in whom I'm well pleased." But now, when God speaks to those present, God uses different language. And he says, "This is my son. This is my son." It's as if God is saying to us all, "You're a part of the story now. I'm not talking to my son, I'm talking to you." It's getting ready to move us from that chosenness, that glory, that majesty into heartbreak and pain and rejection and imprisonment and injustice and death. While it's obviously happening to Jesus, it's for all of us to experience. It would be so much easier if we could just stay in this glory and majesty that is Christmas and Epiphany, wouldn't it? If we could just stay in this glory, life would be so much easier. If God had spoken only to Jesus that day on the mountaintop, but God spoke to us to say, it's time for things to change. This is not a simple transition. This is not a gradual change, but this is transfiguration. Transfiguration. Things will never be the same again. Never. Never. We stand on a threshold not unlike the threshold of our doors, an important threshold for us to consider. Are we willing to step into that promise? Are we willing to step in knowing that it's very serious, it's very hard, it may be traumatic? Or do we want to stay on this side of the threshold, hoping to stay safe and easy? We tend to respond like Peter, don't we? Okay, something's happening quick, what can I do? How can I keep us in this moment? How can we stay in this glory? Let's build some booths and let's all stay and just worship and live on this mountaintop. Everything is good and great and spectacular. But Jesus says, no. That's not what happened. Jesus headed down the mountain. And I think for me, that's one of the most important life-giving parts of our scripture ever. Despite the fact that Jesus knew what was ahead of him, he comes down that mountain. He heads from the mountaintop to the valley, and he walks to that valley willingly. Donald Miller, a writer on Christian spirituality, describes traveling to Peru with friends to hike the Inca Trail. The trek began along a river in the sacred valley, and their guide pointed out that if they followed the trail along the river, they would reach Machu Picchu in just 6 hours. In ancient times, the river was the commercial route to take. But those going to Machu Picchu on pilgrimage had to take the Inca Trail across the snow-covered Andes Mountains. One of the hikers asked, well, why did the Inca people take the long route if it's shorter to go down the river? The guide's answer was, because the emperor knew the more pain the journey to Machu Picchu, the more the travelers would enjoy the city. And so after 4 days of hiking and climbing summits of up to 14,000 feet and descending back into the valley, he recalled running the last mile to the Sun Gate. He said his feet were blistered and his legs were sore. And as weary as he was, the pilgrims knew the guide was right. You can take a train and then a bus and hike 1 mile to Sun Gate. And people do it all the time. But the people who took the bus didn't experience the city the same way. The pain of the journey made the ending more beautiful. How often are we willing to take the hard road? I'm pretty confident in admitting that I probably would have taken the train, the bus, and the walk. How often do we avoid the difficult roads? We don't like pain, do we? We don't like rejection. We don't like injustice. We don't like imprisonment. And yes, we don't like death, do we? You can say you're not afraid of dying, but we certainly do everything we can to avoid it, don't we? I mean, I get my flu shot. I change the batteries in my smoke detector. I stop at the red lights. I go to my doctor on a regular basis. We avoid the valleys if we can. Jesus walked down the mountain into what was sure death, and he called us to walk with him. This miraculous event, this transfiguration, shows us that God's glory, while amazing and life-changing on the mountaintop, doesn't stay on the mountaintop. Because God transforms us. God promises to continue to transform us even while we're in the darkest valleys. Are we willing to understand that a transfigured God demands a transfigured believer? If we're going to accept what God has and is doing for us, it means that we have to be willing to walk through the valley with Jesus. I say this almost every year, and I'm sure it's not going to make any more difference this year than it did last. But it's not going to stop me from trying. We come to this part of the year and we want to jump to Easter. We come to this part of the year and we don't want to come to Ash Wednesday service to think about our sins. We don't want to go through Lent and think about the pain that Jesus endured. We don't want to come to Good Friday service and think about Jesus hanging on the cross. But we want to come to Easter and celebrate the resurrection, don't we? We know that Jesus was born, and then all this stuff happens, blah, 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 blah. And then Easter. I really wish it could be that easy. Really, I do. But Transfiguration Sunday is that threshold that we have to make a choice. Do we step over and say, I am a transfigured believer? I know that Jesus came down from the mountaintop and he came down for me. And Jesus decided to walk that path to the cross with his eyes wide open, and he invited me to take up the cross and follow with him. That means I can't stay in that wonderful glory. I have to step across the threshold and be willing to walk into the valley with him. And if I do, the glory of God goes with me, and even in the darkest moments, I'm not alone. The story that begins Wednesday night makes us different characters than we are if we skip right to Easter. The life of faith means we take the longer route. Sometimes it's an arduous journey, full of grueling climbs and treacherous valleys and sometimes stunning vistas. It's a journey full of hope. We encounter God all along the way. If we take the bus and we just pass by all the other, we also miss so much of its glory. May we choose to be transfigured believers. Every year, just before Lent, we pass out these nails. And we pass them out so that you can take them and slip them in your pocket or lay them on your desk or beside your bed, but somewhere so that every day you remember the journey. And then we bring these nails back on Good Friday to drop them at the foot of the cross. And so I invite you at the end of the service, if you're ready to step over that threshold and say, I take this journey with you, to take a nail to remind you. And perhaps you'll take that nail every day and you'll think about the journey. May we be transfigured believers. May you be a transfigured believer. Amen.